Boy, do we have another hot topic tonight. It's kind of like you and me both are going to be glad when we get through this little section on the Christian and his righteousness. Just kind of, we're going to talk about the tongue. James says, the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, full of deadly poison. And we're going to talk about speaking the truth and truthing it with our words. The title of my message is Speaking the Truth and the Importance of Letting Your Yes Be Yes and Your No Be No and Not Being a Liar. So let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we can open your word, and I pray that this very practical subject of the importance of speaking the truth, and even as Paul said in Ephesians, that we speak the truth in love. And I pray that tonight that you will speak to our hearts. And really, it is a matter of the heart. If our hearts are right with you, then our words will be pleasing unto you. So change our hearts. Only you can do that, so that our words would glorify and honor you. And we'll give you thanks and we give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone agreeing said, amen. Let's read this text. You're going to find it quite interesting. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 33, Jesus says, again, you have heard that it hath been said. They didn't read it. They heard from the Sadducees and the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis. By them of old time, that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform thine oath unto the Lord. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you cannot make one hair black, white or black. That was before the days of Lady Clairol, when they couldn't bleach their hair. But let your communication be yes, yes, and no, no. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil or sin. There's an interesting book I got back in 1991. It's called The Day America Told the Truth. And that book is long out of print, but if you can get your hands on it, you'll find it quite interesting. The Day America Told the Truth by James Patterson and Peter Kim. He says, they say in this book, the authors do, that Americans lie. They lie more than we ever thought possible before the study. But they told us the truth about how much they lie. Just about everyone lies. 91% of us lie on a regular basis. The majority of us find it hard to get through a week without lying. One in five cannot make it through a single day. And we're talking about conscience, premeditated lies. In fact, the way some people talk about trying to do without lies, you'd think that they were smokers trying to get through a day without a cigarette. When we refrain from lying, it's less often because we think it's wrong, 45%, than a variety of other reasons, among them fear of being caught, 17%. The majority of Americans today, two out of every three, believe that there is nothing wrong with telling a lie. Only 31% of us believe that honesty is the best policy. Now, I think that's quite shocking, amazing, that they told the truth about lying in this book. And that such a high percentage of Americans lie, and many lie on a daily basis. Well, tonight in our text from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us to truthfulness of speech. Listen carefully. If anyone should be speaking the truth, it should be a child of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and God is the God of truth, and we as God's people should be saying things that are true and not given to speaking lies. Truthfulness of speech that comes not from an outward conformity to the law, but from an inward attitude of the heart, that we tell the truth, not because the law says thou shalt not lie, but because we want to have a heart that is right with God. So Jesus takes up this fourth contrast between the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees and the true righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, we saw the law of murder, we saw the law of adultery, We've looked at the law of divorce, and tonight we look at the law of lying or false speech. There are three main points that I want to bring out. Number one, what is the principle of the law? Verse 33, that is, as it is given in the Old Testament. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament tell us not to lie. It's funny that people think, well, you know, nothing wrong with it. If it doesn't hurt anybody, thou shalt not lie. It's both Old Testament and New. Jesus is quoting from verse 33, a composite of Old Testament scriptures. Follow with me as I read it again. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time. Here it is. Thou shalt not forswear thyself. He's talking about taking an oath, and you don't really mean what you say or intend to keep what you say. But thou shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. Now, this is not a single verse from the Old Testament. This, as I said, is a composite of verses, and let me give them to you. In the Decalogue, in Exodus 20, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. That's from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And this is really what Jesus is addressing here, that they would swear by heaven, they would swear by the throne, they would swear by the earth. As long as they could avoid God's name, they thought that it was okay. And people do that today. How common is it today for people to use the name of God or the name of Jesus when they swear? Why is it when people get mad, they say Jesus? Why don't they say Buddha or Confucius? See a guy on a construction site and he's hammering away. Wham! It's just, oh, Confucius, oh, Confucius, oh, Confucius. Oh, Buddha, Buddha. Why? Pray tell me, why Jesus? Because there's power in that name. And Satan hates that name. There's a given, only name that we're given to be saved. That's the name above every other name. That's just a little footnote I thought about this afternoon, and I'm just going to pop this out. I don't think we ought to be saying, oh God, either. You really want to say that? You want to call God? People around, because I'm a pastor and they know it, you know, they'll be by me, they go, oh God, and they go, oh, sorry, Pastor. Oh God, oh Jesus, and the whole gamut of things that come out of people's mouths in using that name. But let me mention something else. Using the name of the Lord in vain isn't just in cuss word or swear word or casually saying it. It can also be claiming to be a Christian. I am a follower of Christ and not living the Christian life. That's using the name of the Lord in vain. I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in God, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but then you live your life inconsistent with what you say with your mouth. You are taking the name of the Lord in vain. There's other ways to do that. Then he's drawing from Leviticus 19, verse 12, you shall not forswear by my name falsely. And then Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears by an oath, let him keep that vow. You remember your BC days before Christ when, you know, you're in a car and, you know, there's drugs in the car, alcohol, and a cop pulls you over. Oh, God, please get me out of this and I'll go to church this Sunday. Oh, God, please help me. Lord, help me not to get busted, Lord. Oh, Lord, I just pray that I don't get arrested. Lord, if you help me, I promise I'll go to church and I'll live for you and I will never do this again. And then the minute you get out of it, you go, okay, thanks, Lord. See you next problem. And you put him on the shelf, right? You got a little shelf with, you know, time of need. You call and you open the shelf and you take God down. That's taking the name of the Lord, your God, in vain and not keeping the vow that you make. And then Exodus 20, verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That is as clear as it can be. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So the principle of God's law was to prohibit false swearing or perjury that makes a vow and then breaks it. Why were these laws needed? The answer is because men were liars. Why do we have contracts with pages of fine print? You got to sign that. Why, when we go into a courtroom, do we got to put our hand on a Bible? I confess to you, I mean, men are such liars. You know, they swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, so help me God. It's like, forget it, man. I mean, it's just such a joke. I mean, they don't care about the Bible or God or Jesus, and they don't think about the vows that they take. And by the way, if you're married, I'm assuming you took vows. When you got married, you said, I will love you, and for better, for worse, richer, poor, sickness and health, till death do us part. What happened? What happened to your vows? Oh, well, before God and man, you took vows, and then you don't keep your vows. Just what Jesus is telling us we ought not to do. And so the commandment is quite practical. God is concerned about our speech. Now, why were these laws needed? I said, because men were liars. David said, all men are liars. What an amazing statement that David said. Now, the second thing I want you to see in these verses, verse 34 to 36, is the perversion of the law. Why did Jesus even bring this up in the Sermon on the Mount? And we see in these verses that the scribes and the Pharisees, the Jews, the legalists, they had perverted these laws that we just read from the Old Testament. Notice verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. In other words, you know, I swear to God, I swear. You don't have to do that. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. Now, the Pharisees had perverted God's law of swearing or oath-taking. When we read swearing, it's talking about oath-taking. By shifting people's attention away from the vow itself and the need to keep it to the formula used in making it. Did you get what I said? They shifted the focus on not the vow and the keeping of the vow, but the verbiage, which is like legal documents today, all this legal verbiage. So they switched the focus on, as long as you say it just right, you don't have to keep your vow. So they divided oaths into two classes, those which were binding and those which were not binding. They said, well, this is a binding oath, this is a non-binding oath. Now, what made an oath binding? The ones that they ones where they used the name of the Lord. So all you had to do is substitute the name of God for heaven, for earth, for Jerusalem, or for your head. And they felt that if they did that, then they weren't swearing by God, and they didn't have to keep their vow. But Jesus said, heaven is his throne, and the earth is his footstool. And you can't make one hair black or white with your swearing, so it's still kind of a non-issue. It's a vow that you must keep. So they kind of had a religious loophole in the saying of their vows. They become legalistic Christians, and the same is true today of people. They become legalistic in the things that they say. We have this stupid idea when you say something to somebody, if you cross your fingers, you know, put them behind your back and you go. And then you make a statement, you go, I don't have to do it, ha 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 ha. Slap that person. You shouldn't lie, but it's okay to slap people. I had my fingers crossed. I had my fingers crossed. What is that all about? What kind of stupidity is that? And that's the same kind of a loophole that people try to pull today. You know, I didn't really say that, or I had my fingers crossed, or whatever they try to say. We have legalistic Christians today. Now, some of the lessons that we learn in this perversion of the law. We learn all, first of all, that they were legalistic, that they were following the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. God looks at our heart. Now, there's a lot of Christians today that become legalistic, and they don't look at the spirit of the law, but the letter of the law. I heard about a pastor that one snowy, blizzardy, back east somewhere, Sunday morning, he couldn't get to church because of the snowstorm. We've been hearing a lot about weather lately back east. And so this pastor, which was in a legalistic church, which taught that you could not work on the Sabbath, which they saw as Sunday, the only way that he could get to church to preach that day was to put skates on and to skate on the ice to church. So he put his skates on, he skated to church, and he got there, preached a sermon. Well, some of his elders found out that he skated on Sunday. So he was in big trouble. So they called him in, and they were having, you know, we heard that you skated to church, you know, it's the Sabbath, what are you doing skating on the Lord's Day, you know? And he said, well, look, that's the only way that I could get here. It was iced over, and I had to, you know, skate to be able to get to church. And after this long debate, they finally determined that it was okay as long as you didn't enjoy yourself. I'm sure the pastor, no, I was miserable the whole time I was skating. What's with that? I mean, either it is okay or it isn't okay. It's okay as long as you didn't enjoy yourself. It's like people ask me, can Christians dance? When I'm supposed to, well, as long as you don't enjoy yourself. When people ask me, can Christians dance? I say, some can, some can't. The ones I know shouldn't dance. Christians I've seen dance should be arrested. They become legalistic, and they worry about the formula rather than their heart being truthful before God. And then they lower God's standards to be acceptable of their sin. We must never, ever do that. We must never lower the standards to accommodate our sinful behavior. Don't ever do that. Don't ever lower God's standards to accommodate your sinful behavior, which is in reality what they were doing. And then they believed that if God's name was left out, it was okay to lie. And you could have a divided life into compartments. Okay to lie here, it's not okay to lie here. Listen, let me tell you something. Lying is sin. Lying is sinful behavior. And you can't say it's okay here, it's not okay there. And then people say there's white lies, gray lies, semi-gray lies, and lies come in different degrees. Who made that up? That's okay, it's just a white lie. I don't find that in the Bible. We need to speak the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. So they had fine-tuned their speech so that they could become a society of liars. Let me give you point number three. In verse 37, the true purpose of the law. Jesus makes it very clear, very simple. When he gets to verse 37, Jesus says, but let your communication, the word is your logos, your speech, your words, let your communication be yes, yes, my King James says yea, yea, and nay, nay, but yes, yes, or no, no, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. If you go beyond that, then you are speaking lies or evil. So when Jesus said, swear not at all, he is not saying in verse 34 that we cannot take an oath in a court of law. If you are summoned into a courtroom and you're put on the stand and they say, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, you can say yes. But you better be truthful about what you say. But here's the thing. As a Christian, you shouldn't have to be put under oath to speak the truth. Can you imagine if in our court system we didn't have to do that? Everybody was so truthful that we could just say, you know, what happened? This is what happened. And we can believe and understand that they speak the truth. So in verse 37, Jesus is saying that we should be truthful whether we are under oath or not. We don't tell the truth because we have taken an oath. We tell the truth because we are truthful. Psalm 51, verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth, where? In the inward parts. God desires truth, and this is where God desires truth, in the inward parts. In Ephesians, Paul says, speaking the truth in love. I love what Warren Worsby said. He said, truth without love is brutality. Love without truth is hypocrisy. I mean, you don't just walk up to somebody and say, you know, John's sermon on Sunday night about truth, yeah, okay, you're ugly. It's true. I mean, in a minute, I'm going to give you some guidelines for speech. Is it kind? It may be true, but it's not very nice. And it's not going to help the situation, right? Or we flatter somebody. We say things to their face we would never say behind their back. And they're not, oh, you look so nice today. And then when they walk away, go, oh, man, did you see what she was wearing? That was nasty. And we're not being truthful. And then there's Proverbs 12, verse 2. I'm giving you some verses about your speech. Proverbs 12, 2, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Isn't that great? The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Now, have you ever thought about why we so often lie? Let me give you some common reasons why we lie. We lie often because the most grievous lie, first of all, comes from sheer malice and hatred. In other words, we lie because we want to hurt someone. And it's born out of malice and hatred. Proverbs 12, verse 18, reckless words pierce like swords. We maybe say 16 stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is not true. Words can hurt like a sword. They can wound. And they can never be recovered. How many times have we spoken a word that we wish we could take back? You can't take it back. And they wound and they hurt. And sometimes out of malice or envy. And then fear is, I think, a very, very common cause for lying. We fear of the consequences of our wrongdoing. No fear of hurting others. Husbands and wives sometimes will lie about stupid stuff. Honey, did you take the trash out? And you're like, you know you didn't take the trash out. You're going to take it out in just a moment. I'm going to take it out right now. But you go, yes. Oh, I better do it quick. You didn't take the trash out. What's with that? And then she busts you. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. You know, I mean, if you're going to lie about taking the trash out, well, what else are you going to lie about? Don't ever violate your spouse. Trust. Did you take the trash out? No. Not a good idea. The tone of your voice, the volume of your voice. But be honest. We're fear of the consequences of our wrongdoing. We do something wrong. We lie and then we steal and then we cover it with lying. Remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? David committed adultery, and then he lied to cover his sin. And then he murdered to cover his sin. First he broke the commandment, thou shalt not covet. Then he broke the commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Then he broke the commandment, thou shalt not lie. Then he broke the commandment, thou shalt not murder. You see how sins are linked together? There's no such thing as one little sin. One little sin leads to other sins. And we lie to cover our base. We lie because we don't want to be embarrassed, or we want to, as we sometimes call it, save face. We did something wrong, we failed in an area, and we lie to cover ourselves. Employees will do that with employers. Did you do this? And oh, yeah, I did it. And we cover our base by trying to lie or not be truthful. Think also of the different ways that we lie. This list could go on for quite some time, but we lie simply by slander out of malicious intent to damage a person's character or reputation. We know that it's not true, but we say something to get somebody back. Or gossip. We're saying something behind their back that we would never say in front of their face. Now, if you're smart, you'll think before you speak. Someone said that we should do an acrostic, T-H-I-N-K, think, and then we should ask ourselves, is it true? T stands for is it true? H stands for is it helpful? I stands for is it inspiring? N stands for is it necessary? I like that one. And K stands for is it kind? It's a great one for a marriage relationship, by the way. Sometimes you're thinking, I'm going to say it. I know if I say it, it's going to cause an explosion. I shouldn't say it, but I say it anyway. Blurt out. I mean, oh, why did I say that? Oh, man, why did I say it? Because it's not necessary, and it's not kind, and it's not helpful, and it's not inspiring. Here's another way we lie, flattery. And we also lie with exaggeration. This is one of the most common forms of lying, exaggeration. And people can tell if you're exaggerating, you know. You're stretching the truth. Oh, you should have seen all these cars. There's a big crash, you know. It was really a kid on a bicycle hit a tree, you know. Blood flying everywhere. It was all you should have seen. It was this radical. You know, and then the truth is it was just a kid hit a tree on his bike or something. People embellish stories to try to impress people or win friends. They're just stretching the truth or embellishing short. You know, preachers and church leaders are great at doing this, too. There were thousands of people there. There were 40 people. We call that evangelistically speaking. Hundreds came to Christ. It was awesome, you know. And it's like, no way. And we're stretching the truth. Let me tell you something. If you find yourself exaggerating, people are not going to believe what you say. If you try to exaggerate to impress people or, you know, to make yourself appear greater or more wonderful than you really are, people aren't going to believe what you say. We need to be factual and truthful. And then another way that we lie is insinuation. Insinuation. We don't actually outright lie. This is a sin of omission. But we insinuate, and then we leave the inference with other people to come to their own conclusion. In the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 9, Satan used this against Job with God. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? He was insinuating to God that Job was a mercenary. And that the reason why Job is serving you, God, is because Job is only serving you for what he gets out of it. Which wasn't true. I mean, it just flat out wasn't true. Now, you can't really fool God. God knows the truth. But many times we insinuate something. And then here's a real mind blower. Did you know that you can lie through silence? Did you know that you can actually lie by not saying anything? Again, it's a sin of omission rather than a sin of commission. You can do nothing and you're a liar. Because you knew the truth and you refused to speak up in a time of need and you kept quiet in order that what you wanted people to believe the opposite. You wanted them to believe something wasn't true. Someone will say something, you know it's not true, but it flatters you or helps your situation, so you just smile and keep quiet. You're a liar. They say something nice. I say, oh, you know, you did. And you didn't really do that. You know, it's not true. And you go, no, that's not talking about me. No, that's not true. You got your facts or information. You just go, wow, I'm just going to let them believe what they want to believe. And they think I'm pretty great. And you didn't say anything. But by your silence, you're actually lying. And don't forget the destruction lying brings. Lying brings destruction. We minimize this sin, and we have this idea that it's not really that big of a deal, but it brings destruction to yourself. You don't know who you really are. You're self-deceived. Others don't know the real you. You become fearful that they will come to know the truth about you, so you live with guilt and shame. and the fear of them finding out. So it's self-destructive. It's destructive to others. Bring lying and deceit into a relationship, and it will never be quite the same. This is why I emphasize over and over and over, all human relationships must be based on truth, and especially a marriage relationship. You can't lie to each other. You can't be dishonest to each other. And in your relationship to people, they need to know that you are truthful, and it affects God. He's the God of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." He's the God of truth. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit of truth. And when we lie, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. And I can guarantee you, the minute you utter a lie or a falsehood, the Holy Spirit, that little Holy Spirit monitor inside your heart, ring, you're like, huh? You know that you've lied. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart. We grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. In Acts chapter 5, we all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, right? Who feigned as though they were giving all their money from the sale of their property to God. That was their money. They could keep it. They could give it. That wasn't the issue, but they made this big kind of ostentatious show. We're giving all to God. Aren't we awesome? And what did Peter say? Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You have not lied unto men. You have lied unto God. And I can't help but think that when we come to church, we do the same thing. We raise our hands and sing a song, "I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord." And you know what? It's a lie. Take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. And it's a lie. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite will I withhold. And it's a lie. Think about when you sing to the Lord. Think about the words you say. Do you really mean them? Do you really mean them? Or is it just, oh, this is what we sing, we're singing a song? Or is it real from your heart? So many times we say things or we sing things and we don't really mean what we say. Lord, I'll take up my cross, I'll follow you, I'll live for you, I love you, I'll serve you. And we sing those songs, but our hearts are far from him. We're not really engaged, we're not really truthful. Nothing can be more powerful than actually singing those songs and meaning what you say. Many of the songs we sing are prayers to God. And when you pray to God, you sing, you worship God, and you really mean from the bottom of your heart what you're saying to God. In Revelation 21, verse 8, guess who's in hell? All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. All liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. That's a pretty heavy statement. So Jesus said, verse 37, say yes, say no. Anything beyond this comes from an evil, from the evil one. Satan is the father of lies. Now again, God knows your heart. But if you're struggling with lying and not speaking the truth, the problem tonight is the heart. We must get a new heart. We must be born again. This is why the psalmist cried in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We can't do that. We can't do that. There's no way tonight that you can get victory over your tongue. The book of James says, the tongue can no man tame. We can put bits into horses' mouths and we can get them to go whatever direction we want to go, but yet the man cannot tame his tongue. Only God can tame the tongue. And please don't just kind of shuff off what I've said tonight about truthing it in love. Ask God to give you a new heart. Ask God to create in you a clean heart. and to renew a right spirit within you tonight. Ask God to help you to truth it in all of your ways. Even if it makes you look bad, even if you get in trouble, doesn't matter. Be honest. Be truthful. So very important. But the only way to do that is to have a new heart, a clean heart, a spirit-controlled heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, my Redeemer. That should be our prayer. And only God can give us a clean heart, a pure heart, a new heart, and help the words of our mouth be acceptable in His sight. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you need to repent of your sins, you need to get right with God, I want to give you that opportunity to ask God to forgive you, ask God to renew you. And especially tonight, if you're here and you are not a Christian, the Bible says, by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're here tonight and you've never been born again, you've never put your trust in Christ, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says, by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. God wants to give you a free gift of salvation. And if you haven't been born again, you don't know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Don't leave church tonight without giving Christ your heart and receiving Him as your Savior. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer as we close.